The movement to close the city's troubled Rikers Island jail complex relies on a crucial first step, reducing the inmate population to a size that can fit into community-based jails. As WNYC's Robert Lewis reports, one path to that goal leads through technology.
Last September, police arrested a 17-year-old girl for snatching a wallet. It was her third arrest in 2 months. Prosecutors charged her with second-degree robbery, a violent felony. Public defender Natasha Lapiner-Gerisi was working an arraignment shift that day and got the case.
Let's just see.
She finds the case file in a stuffed cabinet in her office at the New York County Defender Services.
The bail was $7,500 bond.
For New Yorkers who are too poor to make bail, that's the same thing as a jail sentence. But instead of awaiting trial on Rikers Island or serving time in an upstate prison, the girl is out on the street, her every movement tracked with a smartphone and special Bluetooth-equipped ankle bracelet. Project organizers say it's the first real test of a new generation of electronic monitoring in city courts. The aim is to keep young people out of jail. And if it works, they hope it could eventually contribute to the broader goal of reducing mass incarceration, maybe even helping to close Rikers Island. But for now, they have to get the technology right. Lapiner-Gerisi's client is the first admitted to the project.
They knew where her school was. They knew how long it would take for her to get from where she lives to her school. The monitor does not work in the train, so they knew that during a certain period of time, every day during her morning commute, there would be a blackout time.
If the girl's out after curfew or goes somewhere she shouldn't, like a housing project where she'd gotten in trouble in the past, an alert goes to a monitoring center and various caseworkers. WNYC is not naming her because she's a minor, and her case will be sealed if she successfully completes the program.
We had one instance where her medication was wrong and she was in the hospital. Nobody knew where she was. And she took a picture of herself in the hospital with the doctor as proof that she was in the hospital. So in that way, it was great.
This experiment started with the story of Khalif Browder, the 16-year-old Bronx boy who spent 3 years awaiting trial in deplorable conditions on Rikers Island, all because he couldn't afford bail, accused of stealing a backpack. The charges were ultimately dismissed. The New Yorker chronicled his case in October 2014. Karen Friedman Agnifilo was in charge of the Manhattan District Attorney's trial division at the time. She says the story rocked her.
It was partly his age that was shocking, that he spent all of his formative adolescent years at Rikers, waiting for justice and waiting for his day in court.
Browder committed suicide last year. Agnifilo is now the number two in the Manhattan DA's office.
You know, when you look back at your life and you look at junior year, senior year, it means something, and you can remember all those parts of your life.
Just days after the original New Yorker story came out, Agnifilo dashed off an email to an old mentor, Herb Sturz.
Subject, hello. That's a good one. Hello.
Sturz is rereading the email in his office at the Open Society Foundations.
Hi, how are you? I am sure you read the New Yorker piece about the young man who spent 3 years at Rikers Island, only to have his case dismissed. Frankly, I have had trouble sleeping since I read it.
Sturz met with Agnifilo and they started spitballing, thinking about ways to get young people off of Rikers. In particular, people accused of more serious crimes than the misdemeanors and drug cases that are usual fodder for diversion programs. One obstacle, overcoming the fear that such defendants would commit new violent crimes.
How do you get more judges and more prosecutors to feel comfortable in releasing individuals? And would they come back to court and so on?
Sturz and the DA's office assembled a team that includes CUNY, the Center for Court Innovation, and the Robin Hood Foundation, where Bill Cromie is director of emergent technology. He says they tried out various equipment, including traditional ankle bands, which need to be charged multiple times a day.
They substantially limit your mobility. I wore one for a week. It's really not fun. I've worn a couple.
Right now they're testing technology from a Kentucky company, Corasoft. It's a smartphone with GPS and a Bluetooth-equipped ankle bracelet. The bracelet ensures the defendant doesn't just leave the phone at home. There are three teens in the program, all accused of robbery. In addition to the hardware, they get a social worker, family counseling, and other services they might need, like mental health treatment. The monitoring tracks their whereabouts and participation in the program. It also allows for instant communication with caseworkers.
A chance coming here.
Jethro Antoine is technology director at the Center for Court Innovation, which is handling the day-to-day operations of the project.
I look at the electronic monitoring component as just another method to gather information and to assist our staff in helping young people.
He's sitting on the top floor of the Midtown Community Court on West 54th Street in Manhattan, home base for the case managers and social workers assigned to the project. He logs into the monitoring system. On the screen is what looks like a Google map with three "You Are Here" type icons, small thumbnail photos.
This person here, this person happens to be in Brooklyn.
The young man is in Red Hook, just a couple blocks from Coffee Park. The system shows that on February 6th, there was an alert, possible tampering with his ankle band, but it ended in less than a minute.
That particular do not tamper, because of its duration, it indicates that the person may have actually adjusted the device because the condition heals itself almost immediately.
The Manhattan DA's office plans to expand the pilot program to 20 participants ages 16 to 23, but there might be hurdles to growing much bigger. It was originally conceived as a way to free defendants like Khalif Browder. He refused to take a plea deal and was on Rikers waiting for trial. But as designed now, it's a trial diversion program, and defendants had to plead guilty to get in.
If the impetus behind this program was to say no more Khalif Browders, this program does nothing to address that, because Khalif Browder maintained his innocence for over 3 years. So if you're maintaining your innocence, you're still sitting in jail on $3,000 bail.
That's Stan Hermann, executive director of the New York County Defender Services. And sure, a teenager is likely to get off without prison time and have their cases sealed if they can make it through the 6 or 7 months of monitoring. But if they mess up,
they get penalized a lot more than if they would have simply plea bargained their case up front. So rather than maybe a year in jail, you end up doing 3 years in jail.
Herb Sturz at the Open Society Foundations has spent more than 5 decades trying to solve such problems. The last time New York City led the way on bail reform in the 1960s, he helped design the project. Today, at age 85, he's one of the driving forces behind the movement to close Rikers Island. He sits on the new commission to study the possibility. Sturz says this is just an initial test of electronic monitoring.
Everything for me is a jumping off point. You learn. You test. It's experiential.
He says that's how big changes start. Trying something new and seeing what happens. For WNYC, I'm Robert Lewis.